number 15, and we are in Alatra, and this is Lila Nanda Das, your servant. So let's sing a prayer that Lord Chaitanya used to sing, and Prabhupada used to sing also before the Chaitanya Charitamrita class. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Rakshamam. Krishna, 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 Pahimam. Krishna, 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 Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshamam. Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshamam. Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Pahimam. Krishna, 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 Pahimam. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristhaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavari Paschati Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Rama Rama. So today we're reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila Chapter 8, Talks Between the Lord and Ramananda Raya. We have been reading from this chapter for a long time, because we only have this class on Saturdays. So it's text number 264 to text number 74. So I'm going to read, we can read together 264 to 273. I'm sorry, 67. We can read from 267 to 273 together. Okay. I'm going to read the Bengali and then we can read the translation together. Eka shamshaya mora achaye hridaye kripakari kahamori taharanishaye. Ramananda Raya then said that he had but one doubt within his heart. And he petitioned the Lord, please, be merciful upon me and just remove my doubt. Hare Krishna. Welcome. So here Ramananda Raya is giving the example. Now, if we have doubts, we should approach the Lord. Many times devotees, they approached Prabhupada, they had doubts, they had questions. Actually, there is one Mataji, she wrote a letter to Prabhupada. And this letter had many questions. Excuse me, we're having class. So, she had many questions. One question she had was that we're living outside the temple now. We have to go to Mongol Arctic every day. And Prabhupada said, as much as possible. And then she wrote, and we have to worship Tulasi every day at home, as much as possible. And Prabhupada was asking one question after another, but she had lots of questions. And at one point, Prabhupada wrote, use your common sense. And if you don't have any, ask someone who has. I read this, that was interesting. So we should approach the spiritual master, but with relevant questions. Like, you know, Krishna advises Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. There was a lecture Prabhupada was giving, a public lecture in Australia. And then after the lecture, this man stood up and said, today, I choose to be God. And everybody's watching. You know, Prabhupada didn't like to hear these things. So. Today, I choose to be God. And Prabhupada said, my God is very powerful. And the man said, today, I choose to be the all-powerful God. And Prabhupada said, and today, I choose to kick you in the face with my boots. What are you going to do? And the man said, I have to think. I need some time. And Prabhupada said, my God is God all the time. We have to turn the phone off. So, this is not relevant question. This is just arrogance. And there are many examples of questions. When Brahmatirtha Prabhu went to see Prabhupada for the first time, now, he was traveling in India. He was not a disciple or a follower at the time. And then Prabhupada was speaking, and then there was a time for questions. And Brahmatirtha had the question, said, why this Hare Krishna? Why not Buddhism? And Prabhupada said, as he would do sometimes, he answered with the question, what is the Buddhist philosophy? And then at that moment, Brahmatirtha became all embarrassed because he didn't know what the Buddhist philosophy was. But he said something, but nothing that made sense. Then he realized, no, I'm facing a superior personality. And there was a lecture that Prabhupada gave also at one of the top universities in Boston. I can't remember which one. And at the end, when he opened for questions, there were many questions. Many hands went up, many smart students. And they started asking one question after another, and Prabhupada was defeating one after another. Then there was no more questions. They realized this is superior personality. It's not just knowledge. It's not. There's power beyond knowledge, transcendental power. So here, Ramananda Roy, he has a question, he has a doubt, and he's approaching the Lord. I have a doubt. I need you to clarify this. At the next verse, Pahile dhikulon tomara sanyasi swarupa ebe toma dekimuni shamagoparupa. Ramananda Roya then told Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, open quotes, at first I saw you appear like a sannyasi, but now I am seeing you as Shamasundar, the coward boy. Actually, when they first met, Ramananda Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had just crossed was at the bank of the river, Godavari, and Ramananda Roya was traveling with his entourage, with many people. So he saw that beautiful sannyasi, and he approached him. And he offered respect and said, you were so effulgent. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I'm Mayavadi Sannyasi. Actually, I'm nothing exalted. I'm just a Mayavadi Sannyasi. That's all I am. No, he actually played down the praise. Then the next verse. Tomara Samukhe Deke Kanchana Panchalika Tamra Gaura Kanchito Mara Sarva Angadhaka. I now see you appearing like a golden doll, and your entire body appears covered by a golden luster, purple. Shamasundar is blackish, but here Ramananda Roya says that he saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appear golden. The lustrous body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was covered by the bodily complexion of Sri Mati Radhanani. You see how we need a spiritual master? If we read this, just the text, and we didn't have the help from Srila Prabhupada, how would we understand this? You know? How would the Mayavadi explain this verse? Yeah? The golden lustrous, that's the effulgence from Brahman. We would come up with something like that. You know? But because we have the help from Srila Prabhupada, we can see things in the proper way. Now, Srila Prabhupada, actually, I was discussing with Madam Mohan this morning, Srila Prabhupada actually rewired our brains. He rewired it. We were used to think in one way. I had an incident. I have a Tulasi house. And one evening, it was getting cold. And when it falls below 70, the heater turns on automatically. There's a thermostat. So, and I go there before the temperature dropped. And I was going to close the Tulasi house because during the day I open. And I saw that there was a lizard inside the heater, and he was trapped. He found a way there, and he was trapped. He couldn't get out. And in a moment, the heater is going to turn on, and he's going to become barbecue. You know? So I thought, wow, how am I going to get this lizard out of there? I looked around. I couldn't find a way. I don't even know how he got there. Then I found out that it was through the back. There was a hole in the heater. And, you know, Tulasi needs the heater. Is it Tulasi or the lizard? One has to go here. Because Tulasi can be affected if the temperature goes down. And I don't have time to go to Lowe's to buy a heater. So I said, well, let's disassemble this heater. I disassembled the entire heater. And the lizard didn't want to get out of the heater. So I had to spray some water. He got out. Okay, then I assembled the heater and everything worked. But then I was thinking, wow, would I do this if I had not met Prabhupada? I was thinking, no. I would not have done. I would probably think, just a bug. Who cares? Yeah? Would not even consider that's a living entity. So Prabhupada rewired my brain and the brain of all of us in a positive way. When there was that case of brainwashing in New York in 1977, when they came to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, they are saying that we're brainwashing people. And Prabhupada said, there's no question of brainwashing anybody. They don't have a brain. We're giving them a brain. And also he said, well, what's the problem of washing something that's dirty? Why are they complaining? If we're washing something that's dirty. Their brain is also all confused, full of misconceptions, thinking that dedicating your life to this world is going to make you happy. So Prabhupada is rewiring our brain. And by doing so, there's so many rewired brains all over the world that is affecting the wiring of the earthly and cosmic brain. And the atmosphere is changing. The world is changing with that input. So next verse. Tahati prakata dekom savam shivadana nana bhave chanchalata hi kamalanayana. I see that you are holding a flute to your mouth and your lotus eyes are moving very restlessly due to various ecstasies. So he was actually seeing the Lord face to face. So Prabhupada did not give us a process, and Krishna did not give us a process that is impossible to do and that nobody can be successful. No, he gave us a process that we can achieve the desired goal. It is possible. We just have to be a member of the team. You know when a team wins, all the members win? No, there is like a basketball team. And when the team wins, everybody in the team is a winner. So we just have to remain a member of the team and play along. Play along. Sing along. Dance along. Read along. Follow along. Eat along. And then, just being part of the team, we're all winners. Because Prabhupada is a winner. And Krishna is a winner. No? In all the battles, Krishna was a winner. In all the battles, Prabhupada was always a winner. Just have to follow along. You will be able to see Krishna face to face. Next one. Ei mata tomadiki haya chamatkara akapati kaha prabhu karana ihara. I actually see you in this way. He's saying that I actually see you in this way. I'm seeing you in this way. And this is very wonderful, my Lord. Please tell me without duplicity what is causing this. Next verse. Prabhu kahi Krishna tomari gadha prima haya prima rasva bhava e janiha nishaya. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, you have a deep love for Krishna, and one who has such deep, ecstatic love for the Lord naturally see things in such a way. Please take this from me to be certain. So Prabhupada had this quality. No. He came to the West and so many souls without any qualities, but he saw some qualities in them. So they have qualities. No. He saw positive things where nobody would see. I was talking to Achyutananda. Achyutananda often comes to computer doctor. And he stayed at the ashram of several of Prabhupada's god brothers at the very beginning when he was alone in India, in the sense that he was the only ISKCON devotee in India, and there were no ISKCON temples. So in that sense, he was alone. So he had a chance to stay and live with several of Prabhupada's god brothers. And he told me that, frankly, none of them could have done what Prabhupada did. None of them had. They had qualities. They had qualities. But none of them had all these qualities that Prabhupada could tolerate standing on the bathroom line with the Westerners. Now, there's that pastime that a Prabhupada disciple offered some food, some prasadam, to one of his god brothers. I'm not going to mention the name now. And the god brother said no. Because no, he wouldn't take prasadam from the hands of malachas. So that, no, with that kind of mentality, it would be difficult to preach in New York City on the Lower East Side. No? It would be very difficult. But a long time, no, sometime later, the same god brother wrote to Prabhupada asking for a donation for his temple. Yeah? And Prabhupada wrote back, said, no, thank you, it's very nice that you were preaching. And it's very nice that you're asking me a donation. But you know, the money that I have is all collected by the hands of the malachas. I don't think you want to be contaminated by this. Prabhupada was so smart. You know. So. But he could see the good qualities on every living entity. You know? When the Shruta Krata was still a visitor at the Boston Temple, he was seen a little eccentric and unusual. And the devotees would actually not allow him in the temple. You know, he would come by the place where they leave the shoes, and they would give him some prasadam. Then he had to go. But after some time, they decided that not even here we want this man. You know, you got outside. You can come and take prasadam outside. But somebody wrote to Prabhupada. Now, he wants to be with us. What should we do? And they explained. And Prabhupada said, what's the problem? You cannot tolerate? You cannot tolerate? And then he became like a big Sanskrit scholar, actually. Yeah. Then there's that other pastime of this boy from a Sikh family in India. And he joined the temple, he was initiated, then he left in Mumbai. And he was collecting money from the life members. Although he had left, he was presenting himself as ISKCON member, devotee, and collecting money from the life members. And Tamal Krishna went to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, You need to write a letter to the life members. We have to stop this. No, he is collecting money from the life members. The Prabhupada said, no, just wait. Just wait. Then Tamal Krishna found out that he was now with a yogi at the beach. And the yogi had some mystic power that would put one coin here and the coin would come on the other ear. And he was learning this so he could further entice the life members to give money with his powers. And Tamal Krishna said, Prabhupada, now he is doing this. Now, enough is enough. You know, there is a limit. And Prabhupada said, Tamal, you don't understand. There is no limit to Lord Nityananda's mercy. And some time later, the boy came back. Prabhupada even gave him sannyas. So, his vision was a different type of vision than our vision. We have one type of vision. His vision was a different vision. The vision of a pure devotee is different. All animals are sacred. All trees, all plants. The nature, everything belongs to God. Ishavasyam idam sarvam. He's the controller of everything. He's the proprietor of everything. So a devotee of Krishna, naturally, he is the best, I forgot the word, those that like to take care of nature, environmentalist. He's naturally the best environmentalist because he understands everything belongs to the Lord. I cannot destroy anything. I cannot corrupt anything, pollute the water. I remember when I was a bhakta, I went on a car ride with the temple president. We went somewhere to buy something. And I was eating some prasadam or something, and there was a paper plate. And I finished it, just threw it through the window. He said, no, you cannot do that. I said, oh yeah, I'm so sorry that we're going to make the place dirty. He said, no, not just that. This whole planet belongs to Krishna. This is like Krishna's house. It's like you're in Krishna's house, you're going to throw plates like this. I never forgot. Never did again. You know? Never did again. So he had that consciousness that everything belongs to the Lord. Every living being. Nobody can be offended. No animals, no trees, nothing. Everybody deserves their space, their time. There's this nice pastime that Prabhupada was in Mumbai in a meeting. And then the cleaning lady came at the door. And Prabhupada, no, she's just a simple lady that's cleaning the place. And Prabhupada said, now it's her turn. We have to leave. So he was very respectful. It's her time to leave. So now we leave. He was a perfect gentleman. A Vaishnava is a perfect gentleman in all levels. So the next verse, 273. Mahabhagavata dekhe. Stavara Jamana, Taham Taham Hayatamra, Shri Krishna Purana. A devotee advanced on the spiritual platform sees everything movable and inert as the Supreme Lord. For him, everything he sees here and there is but the manifestation of Lord Krishna. Everything. You know? There is a verse in the Bhagavatam that explains Prakrita Bhakta Smrita, that if a devotee, he sees the Lord at the temple and worships the Lord, but he does not respect others, he doesn't see that the Lord is everywhere, he is a Prakrita Bhakta. He is a devotee with a materialistic mentality. He is also a devotee of Krishna, but with a materialistic mentality. The Lord is everywhere, in the heart of everybody. So now, 274, we can repeat. Istavara jamgama deke na deke tara murti sarvatra haya nija ishtadeva spurti. das feitrides. Stavara jangama dekena deketara murti. Sarvatra haya nija ishta deva spurti. Stavara jangama deke na deke tara murti. Sarvatra haya nija ishta deva spurti. Stavara jangama deke na deke tara murti. Sarvatra haya nija ishta deva ispurti. Stavara jangama deke na deke tara murti. Sarvatra haya nija ishta deva ispurti. Istavara jangama deke na deke tara murti. Sarvatra haya nija ishta deva ispurti. Matajis? Stavara jangama deke na deke tara murti. Sarvatra haya nija ishta deva ispurti. Stavara jangama deke na deke tara murti. Sarvatra haya nija ishta deva ispurti. Stavara jangama, movable and inert. Deke, he sees. Na, not. Deke, sees. Tara, it. Murti, form. Sarvatra, everywhere. Haya, there is. Nija, his own. Ishtadeva, worshipable Lord. Spurti, manifestation. Translation, please repeat. The Mahabhagavata, the advanced devotee, certainly sees everything mobile and immobile. But he does not exactly see their forms. Rather, everywhere he immediately sees manifest the form of the Supreme Lord. The Mahabhagavata, the advanced devotee, certainly sees everything mobile and immobile, but he does not exactly see their forms. Rather, everywhere he immediately sees manifest the form of the Supreme Lord. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Due to his deep ecstatic love for Krishna, the Mahabhagavata sees Krishna everywhere, nothing else. This is confirmed in Brahma Samhita 538, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena, Santaksa Daiva Hrida Yeshu Vilokayanti. Those that whose eyes are anointed with love for Krishna, they see everything in relation to Krishna. As soon as a devotee sees something, be it movable or inert, he immediately remembers Krishna. An advanced devotee is advanced in knowledge. This knowledge is very natural to a devotee, but he has already read in Bhagavad Gita how to awaken Krishna consciousness. According to Bhagavad Gita, Rasohama Psukanteya Prabhasmi Shashi Sudayo Pranava Sarva Videshu Shabda Ke Parushandushu. O son of Kunti, Arjuna, I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon, the syllable Om in the Vedic mantras. I am the sound in ether, and ability in man. And Prabhupada quotes this verse so many times, and he explains this verse in many different ways. Like, for instance, he says, that if you see a man that is qualified in any field, you can remember Krishna. You can see that those qualities are Krishna. The man may be a big poet, a big singer, a big actor, a successful businessman, or successful in any field. You see, those qualities are Krishna's qualities. Even if a man is like a big fighter, oh, Krishna likes to fight. He was a big fighter. No, he was wrestling and fighting all the time. And even a man that likes girlfriends can help you remember Krishna. So, Krishna is the biggest boyfriend above all of them. Nobody can compare. So, any qualities we see, and when we see the sun and the moon, Prabhasmi Shashi Sudayo, I am the light of the sun and the moon. We see the sun rising. Oh, that's Krishna. Krishna is everywhere. We see the moon. That's Krishna. All this can help us remember Krishna all the time. Thus, when a devotee drinks water or any other liquid, he immediately remembers Krishna. For a devotee, there is no difficulty in awakening Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day. It is therefore said, Istavara Jagamana Jangama Dekhi Na Dekhi Taramurti Sarvatra Haya Nija Ishta Devaspurti. So 24 hours a day, devotional service. Once in Hawaii, at around midnight, Prabhupada tell his servant, call, he was a big collector in Japan for the Vrindavan temple, Guru Kripa. Call Guru Kripa. So Guru Kripa wakes up and goes to see Prabhupada. Yes, Prabhupada. What are you doing? I was sleeping. Why are you sleeping? Oh, Prabhupada, no. Me and my man, we are on the street collecting 16, 18 hours a day. Why only 16, 18 hours a day? Why not 24 hours a day? Devotional service is 24 hours a day. Or Prabhupada, no. We're not like you. We're not Paramahansa. Why you are not a Paramahansa? And by now, Guru Kripa is already in tears. And whoever knows Guru Kripa, you know, American tough guy, take no prisoners home, you know. But now he's almost in tears in front of Prabhupada. And Prabhupada tells him, get me the Krishna book from the shelf. So he gives the Krishna book. Prabhupada reads a Krishna story to him. It's okay, now you can go to sleep. It's like, you know, getting your child, you know, reading a story and go to bed now. But 24 hours a day, and Prabhupada was always engaged, 24 hours a day, even sleeping, he was dreaming of how to expand this Krishna consciousness movement, or a Krishna conscious dream that we can't understand. That servant of Prabhupada who was his nurse, what's his name? He's in New York. No, the one that was a nurse in the last days, working as a nurse. Abhiram. He said that, now usually when you sleep and you wake up, you are like, oh, and all that, you know, scene, you know, until your computer gets back to normal, you know, you can see things. But he said that he noticed that Prabhupada was sleeping and he used to sleep with his hands like this on his chest, usually facing up. And was time to sleep, he would just open his eyes and he was completely normal, like if nothing was happening. You know? He said he noticed that. Like he was always aware of everything. He wasn't in that deep sleep that you wake up, you know, take some time for you to come back to normal. A saintly person, an advanced devotee, sees Krishna 24 hours a day and nothing else. As far as movable and inner things are concerned, a devotee sees them as all transformations of Krishna's energy. As is stated in Bhagavad Gita, Bhumirapu nalo vayu kamano buddhirivacha ahankara itiyami vinna prakriti rashtada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. All together, these eight comprise my separated material energies. Actually, that's Bhagavad Gita 7.4. Actually, nothing is separate from Krishna. When a devotee sees a tree, he knows that the tree is a combination of two energies, material and spiritual. Now, Prabhupada said, the scientists, they say that life comes from matter. But they say, no. Matter comes from life. And they say that life comes from chemicals. And I say, no. Chemicals come from life. For instance, a lemon tree, when the tree is alive, produces lemon. And the lemon has a chemical, citric acid. So it's a live tree producing chemicals. But you cannot put citric acid and produce a lemon tree, a live lemon tree. And a dead lemon tree will not produce citric acid. In a human being, you can sweat. So there's sodium, there's water, H2O. That's a chemical. It's produced by a live human being. But you won't see a dead human being in need of deodorant. He's dead. He's not sweating. He doesn't produce anything. So chemicals come from life. Not life comes from chemical. So the inferior energy, which is material, forms the body of the tree. However, within the tree is the living entity, the spiritual spark, which is part and parcel of Krishna. This is the superior energy of Krishna within this world. Whatever living thing we see is simply a combination of these two energies. When an advanced devotee thinks of these energies, he immediately understands that they are manifestations of the Supreme Lord. As soon as we see the sun rise in the morning, we arise and set about doing our morning duties. Similarly, as soon as a devotee sees the energy of the Lord, he immediately remembers Lord Krishna. This is explained in this verse. Sarvatra haya nija ishta deva spurti. A devotee who has purified his existence through devotional service sees only Krishna in every step of life. This is also explained in the next verse, which is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.45. So Prabhupada trained us what he is doing through his books, his teachings, and his devotees. He's training us, educating us to see things as they really are through the eyes of the scriptures and the pure devotee. That's what he did to us. Now, when we are born, we are trained to see things according to the material point of view. Our parents tell us that, so our family name is important. And you are going to grow up, you are going to go to a good school, and you are going to become educated, and then you are going to get a good job, and then you are going to get married, and then you are going to feel that you are a realized man, a man that became realized. So they educate us. And the schools, they educate us to think in that way. The scientists want us to think their way. The communists want us to think their way. The capitalists want us to think their way. The materialists want us to think their way. And they want to mold people's minds as much as possible according to their way of thinking. But there is one problem with that. That all these individuals, they think that they are this body. And all their philosophy and all the structure of that philosophy and all the results of their books is based on the erroneous concept that I am this body. It's all sitting on that. It's like if you build a building on a shake structure, that building will collapse. So this society is based on the concept that we're this body, and all this is developing on top of it. Prabhupada gives the example. It's like in a mathematical formula. If you have 3 times 5 plus 4 divided by 2 times 8 plus 9. So this is the formula. Now, if you change one of the numbers, what happens? The whole thing changes. So, when we have this false conception that we're this body, and we build a whole society on top of that, then that whole knowledge is based on illusion. So that's why so much is developed for the comfort of the body, and very little is done for the advancement of the soul. But what Prabhupada did is to rewire our brains to see things as they are. He said, you are not this body. This body is something very temporary. And no matter how much you work, how educated you become, how successful you are materially, there will be a point that death will come. And with death, everything that you accumulated in this world will be finished. However, if you do not prepare yourself for the next life, then you got a problem. One time Prabhupada was meeting with some Christians, and he was talking about how the soul leaves this body and goes to the next body, and one Christian said, oh, we don't believe in next life. No. Either you go to, when you die, either you go to hell or you go to heaven. And Prabhupada said, well, if you go somewhere, then there's next life. How come you say you don't believe? Prabhupada is so sharp, isn't he? So he contradicted himself because he doesn't believe in next life, but you go somewhere. But if you go somewhere, there is next life. There's a next after now. So unless we prepare ourselves for the transcendental life, for the spiritual life, then we just have to keep coming back here and seeing things. And as sometimes people think, how do you follow this? Why do you follow this? Why would somebody dedicate their life to do this? You know. We also see them in a similar way. How do you follow this? How do you dedicate your life to do this? Yeah. And have no spiritual practice. Like when I wake up, I take a shower and I chant japa. And when we wake up, what do? Or you turn the TV. Turn on the TV. Now, how can you live like this? You allow the TV to think for yourself. No, I have a spiritual master, a man that is free from anger, from lust, and from all these bad qualities that people in general have, and a man that is compassionate, that only wants to help others. Now, where is the compassion on those guys behind the TV? They're only calculating how they can exploit you to the highest possible level. And what about all others that are proposing different philosophies? Do they really want to help people? Lately, there has been a number of articles showing how doctors have diagnosed patients with cancer, and they actually didn't have any cancer. It was just a business, because it's a very profitable business, all the drugs and everything. Do they really want, they are like your well-wisher, those people that you're following? They really want to help you? No. No. Not at all. Not at all. You know? So, we have learned this understanding that everything belongs to Krishna. All the nature, all the animals, mobile or immobile, everything is part of God. And He is present everywhere. And every creature and everything needs to be respected. And we got this understanding from Prabhupada. When I was a kid, I used to burn ants using a magnifying glass. I don't think I was the only one that did that. Have you seen that? They take a magnifying glass. Why did they do that? Because one of my cousins told me, oh, look, you can do this. Oh, that's fun. So bad association, bad influence. Did he learn in his life? Actually, I saw him on Facebook the other day, actually. His picture. Haven't seen him for a while. Did he ever learn in his life that every living being has to be respected? Every living being is part of God? He never learned that. So how could he pass that knowledge to anybody? He could only pass what he learned. So we have a treasure of knowledge in our hands. And we need to give to others. And we need to pass this knowledge along to others. It's time for me to stop. I'm going to read this last verse one more time. The Mahabhagavata, the advanced devotee, certainly sees everything mobile and immobile, but he does not exactly see their forms. Now, we may not be, we are not Mahabhagavata or advanced, but we can learn from them to act in that way. And gradually that will help us to advance. Rather, everywhere he immediately sees manifest the form of the Supreme Lord. Everywhere he's seeing Krishna. What an amazing experience. Any questions? Yes, Kali Apani Prabhu. Comment, please.
This is a comment. You were talking about trees and matter. And the word matter comes from materia, Latin, which means the hard inner wood of a tree, which is like the matrix or the mother from which the new growth comes. And that word materia comes from Latin, is a derivative of Latin mater, which means mother. So the word matter actually means mother. So matter is a feminine energy. Of course, you know, that has a root in Sanskrit.
Very nice. Wonderful. Any questions? Anybody else? Thank you. That's a very nice explanation. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.